You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, Nick's here to make a special announcement for Myopia Defend Your Childhood. The month of April is going to be a public defender month, which we haven't done in years, but our listenership has grown and I've gotten all sorts of recommendations over Twitter. So here's what you're going to do. If you have a movie to suggest starting February 1st and ending on February the 14th, we are going to open the phone lines, open Twitter, open our email to you making recommendations. If you want to call in and leave a voicemail, the number is 770-835-5578. That's 770-835-5578. If you want to email us, go to myopiapodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at Myopia Podcast, and tell us a little bit. Tell us what movie you want to do. Tell us why you think it'd make a good episode. Tell us a little bit about your memories of it, perhaps. And if you get selected, the month of April will be dedicated to you, our fans, defending the movies you grew up. How will you stand when we put a piece of your past on trial? Thanks, guys.
So when we did the first Mummy, I loved the first Mummy. I even remember positively the second Mummy. Then Daniel suggested we did this one, and I was like, fine, it's a movie with The Rock. I love The Rock. The Rock's great in everything. It's got Michael Clark Duncan in it, who's awesome. What could possibly... Oh, man, this movie's weird. Oh, it's not good. They take tropes. It's weird. I remember it being advertised as The Mummy 3. There's no mummy branding here. It's just the Scorpion King. They mess with history. They futz around with everything. It just... None of the joy is there. It's bad, guys. It's just crushingly bad. So, I guess, enjoy? This movie isn't impossible to find. It's just not worth finding. So, yeah. February 1st, we're doing a listener request month. A public defender month, if you will. Where you guys, the public, the listening public, will request movies for us to do in an upcoming month. And further, if you're around Cineprov in February, the first week of February, we will be doing kind of another cult classic, an episode that we've already done, by the way. On February 7th, we're doing Roadhouse. So hope to see you at Roadhouse at the Plaza Theater. Thanks, guys.
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
And we're inviting you to check out our podcast, The Earth Station DCU. We talk all things DC comics, television, movies, and news.
We'll give you weekly comic recommendations and keep you informed on what's going on with DC TV and movies.
We are part of the ESO Network. You can catch a new episode weekly on iTunes, Google Music, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood. This week we watched, somewhere in the middle of our disappointing month.
Aren't all our months kind of disappointing in their own way?
I mean, if you read the reviews, then yeah.
Oh,
but
boy.
I mean, so yeah. But this week we're doing a Daniel pick. We're watching a disappointing movie from 2002, a very disappointing year in general. I'm sure they blame 9/11 for something. But this is 1990...
This is 2002.
No, I was going to say 1998 sequel... The sequel to the 1998 movie, Mummy 2. When did Mummy 2 come out?
It was 91 and then 2001... Oh, excuse me, not 91. 99 and then 2001 and then this.
Okay, so 9 months after that last sequel came out, they couldn't get anyone back, so they decided to start scratch by making The Rock the hero who saved Gamora.
Yes.
Literally. So I'm Nick Hoffman, award-winning comedian with Cineprov, and on panel we have...
Matthew W. Quinn, who wants to start self-publishing pulp fantasy stories. Maybe he can, you know, make some money that way.
We should watch better movies to inspire you. And I'm and
hello, this is Daniel, and I worship the Tick King. Mm.
Gross.
Does he have Spoon. Dang, I was about to say something about Arthur.
So this movie is weird.
This was an important movie in my life. The reason being, this is the first time I remember walking out of a theater and going, that really sucked.
And it's a good thing that movies and words aren't something that is needed for any of your hobbies or jobs.
Oh, so yeah. So Kelly Hugh did not make you a man. Is that not the issue?
Not gross. In this movie. That was in X2.
Oh, that's right. She was in X2. Mm-hmm. She had a career. It's so funny to watch bad movies, and I guess stay tuned for movies later this month, including a Star Wars and Matrix movie, on whose career was ruined by that process and whose wasn't. I'm glad that she survived, because The Rock definitely did, and Michael Clark Duncan definitely did. I don't think anyone else made it out of this movie
alive.
Did
Michael Clark Duncan really survive, though?
He had movies after this.
In the long run, I mean.
No, I mean, R.I.P.D. I love Michael Clark Duncan. He's a breath of fresh air in a shitty movie.
He was in Green Mile. Wasn't that after this?
No, it was before.
That was before this. I think the thing he did after this that was a big deal, which is a terrible movie, but he's also the best part of, is Daredevil.
Oh, yeah. He was
a terrible kingpin.
What
was wrong with him?
I didn't think that he was a really good kingpin in that movie.
I think he was the best part of that movie.
I think Bullseye was kind of the best part of that movie.
Colin Farrell, right?
Yeah.
Killing that old woman by throwing a peanut into her throat?
Best part of that movie. And when he killed Frank Miller with a pencil, if I recall correctly.
I believe he did. He did a kind of pre-Joker pencil trick.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
We're going to make this podcast disappear.
Wouldn't be hard. Wouldn't be the first person to suggest that. Let's just talk about this movie a little bit. If you've seen the first two Mummy movies, forget everything because they don't matter. This movie is very bizarre. It's kind of a prequel, but unlike them, I kept thinking they would show up in the modern world, but they don't.
Well, they also forget that the Scorpion King was a villain in the second one.
Yeah, I think Stephen Sommers, who made this, he said later that the villainous Scorpion King was the TV Tropesian identical grandson. Like Kung Fu, the Legend Continues.
I have no idea what that means.
Was that
you're the only one still on TV Tropes? What does that mean?
Kung Fu, the Legend Continues, a spinoff.
No. The identical grandson.
That, you know, that is the grandson played by the same actor.
Even dumber.
No,
they said that they explained that by saying that the villainous Scorpion King from The Mummy Returns was the grandson of Matthias.
No.
Oh, God, that's idiotic.
Oh my God.
Never said I thought it was a good idea.
Yes, but you brought it up.
I don't blame you necessarily.
Communism is, you know, could work, but I'm not saying it is. I'm just mentioning it on the podcast. You need to stop doing this, man.
Game over, man.
We're just three brown-haired guys on a podcast. Mm-hmm. White people doing a podcast.
Well, of course.
If two of us had beards, we'd be like the Three Guys with Beards podcast.
I think being Anglo-Saxon, I mean, eventually we'll ask on brown-haired girl to round out the podcast of white people with brown hair.
We're all white people. We're all in our 30s. Of course we're on a podcast.
Well, I mean, this movie almost has a woman with agency, so we should get to her.
You're talking about Kelly Hugh?
Yeah.
Okay.
The soothsayer. What's her character's name?
I think it's actually Cassandra, but she's only referred to that once.
Yeah.
So they just call her the sorceress.
Let me look on the wiki real quick.
The other thing that bothers me is that the whole time they're trying to establish anyone. And so what they're doing is they're pulling tropes from the first two movies, which are, I think we can all agree, especially the first one, which has been on the show, is really fun and has a lot of kind of neatness to it. This one feels cheap from beginning to end.
Well, what concerned me the most about this was The Rock, who is like him or hate him, he is so charismatic.
He is.
He is just totally aware and is in on the joke.
And he's charming. Like, he even does a couple times some of those Rock things that we love, like the raised eyebrows and the wide eyes, and you're just like, kind of like the, what's going on?
And when he gets the pickpocket to give up the ruby, just with that totally non-verbally, he just gestures and looks at him. The kid just gives him the money.
Yeah.
The
rubies. Yeah. And I mean, and that's when he's at his best.
But overall, he was just so nervous to be in front of the camera in this.
This is his first starring vehicle. It's very clear. Everyone else in the background are like such cliched character actors that you'd think they'd be able to do their part. They're barely able to. It's just weird. Whatever. Daniel, you want to try to give us the plot synopsis? It is your movie, after all.
Well, I mean, I specifically chose this.
I could do it.
Matt, I'll give it.
Yeah, go for it, Matt.
Okay. It is the time before the pyramids, and from the distant east, a evil empire called the Horde, whose greatest warrior is their king, has invaded the known world and is conquering everybody, and their greatest warrior is their king, Memnon, which is Greek.
And I Memnon mean, begot Methuselah, and Methuselah begot Methuselah. And
so he has a sorcerer who can predict the outcome of every battle, so consequently he wins all of them. And so the free peoples of the Middle East, hire The Rock and his brother Jessup, which sounds like an old Western name, and some third guy who doesn't have a name. And they are supposed to kill the sorcerer, but The Rock hesitates when it turns out it's Kelly Hugh, who's really good looking. And he ends up being buried up to his neck in an ant mound.
Now,
and so then he gets rescued by wacky ethnic comic relief Grant Heslov, who is actually an Academy Award nominee from Good Night and Good Luck, who's like a horse thief who claims to be a priest. And then they go on an adventure to kill Memnon because Memnon killed Matthias's brother.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's basically it.
We can work on your tightness on these, but... The thing is, the plot is really long and ambly for no reason.
Basically, not Conan the Barbarian goes to kill not Conan the Barbarian's ruthless enemy, and along the way meets a bunch of stereotypes from...
Could we call him Human General Grievous? Because when he does that dual-wielding sword thing, he reminded me so much of General Grievous.
I mean, you can call him whatever you want. It's shit. Memnon is also a real thing from Greek mythology. He is Ethiopian, so strike one. And then strike two, if I recall correctly, he fights kind of around, like, he shows up in the Trojan War, and he comes to help Troy and dies helping Troy, so much so, and he fights so valiantly that Zeus gives him eternal life.
It's not Agamemnon, is it?
No, this is Memnon. Oh, like, okay. Literally Memnon. That's what he is. He exists. He has his own epic poem written by someone who is not Homer, so we don't have it.
So some OG fanfic?
Oh, yeah. There's like 9 parts of that poem, and we've only got 2 of them.
Exactly right. This one's written by Quintus, and I believe a guy named St. Augustine of Hippo declared it heretical, so it was destroyed. But whatever. Like, Memnon is a real name from Greek mythology, and that's the problem with this movie I have. You kind of touched on it, but, like, all of this is just a mishmash, as though someone looked up the ancient world and then looked in the index of that book and threw it all together. Like, Akkadians are in here. Mm-hmm. The ancient city of Gomorrah is in here for some reason.
Nubia,
but Nubia was there. Like, that's the thing. They're all here. Yeah, bullshit.
And Philos, the Memnon scientist, has gunpowder, which he says comes from China. So he got that part right, at least.
But it's also 1,000 years out of date. Like, that's the problem.
Or more.
Everything is combined together wrong. Like, it's
the pyramids. So
that's 3,000 years ago.
Or more.
4,000 years ago, right? And so all of this is wrong, because gunpowder appears in China in, like, 680?
Yeah, it's Tang Song era.
Right.
The problem is a lot deeper. I'm sorry to interrupt the history teachers here. The problem is a lot deeper than just being a bunch of mishmash of ancient civilizations. It's that the story is just so cliched and bad. It's like somebody took a bunch of Edgar Rice Burroughs adventure books, or... No, who invented Conan?
No, but that's the problem. It should have been
Robert
Edgar
Howard.
Rice Burroughs.
Right. It reminds me a lot of Conan, like... The Hyborian stuff that Robert Howard wrote is like every time period just thrown in a blender.
But that's just it. It should be that. It's not that, right? This is more like an Age of Empires game where like the Assyrians are fighting the Sumerians or fighting the Babylonians, because that's the cold open. The cold open is like Vikings, and they're like, we have defeated the Babylonians. We have defeated Akkadians, and now we're going to defeat... an Egyptian.
Okay, now I'm disappointed because I wanted to pause this movie.
And he mentioned the Mycenaeans, too.
He did. He mentioned Phoenicians. Like, it's all bullshit. Go ahead.
I wanted to pause the movie and type in the password that'll give me access to those machine gun cars so I can beat Age of Empires.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's what it feels like, though, right? Like, mm-hmm. And then The Rock is like the hero that's unbeatable.
He's got like a machine gun, bow and arrow. Like at one point, he shoots a guy with an arrow, and he goes flying like 60 feet through a wall.
He has a bow that has so heavy a tensile strength that no one else can pull it back. Like they're joking. Like at one point, the prince is like, "And look at him with his little bow," and he's like,
"Gah." Well, there's that bit where what was his name again? The comic relief you mentioned,
Arpid.
Okay, yeah. Arpid. I was looking for the actor's name, but Arpid.
Grant Heslov is
Thank
the
you.
Actor.
Yeah. Where he's like trying to reach out and touch it, and The Rock's just like, "Don't touch the bow."
Yeah, and you're just like, "Why? What's he gonna do to your bow? Like, none of this has any weight. It's the weirdest."
He's gonna take it to a pawn shop because that's the kind of person he is.
He, if you've seen the original two Mummy movies, he's Benny.
That's the problem with this. It was an established canon. So yeah. We already knew like the story of this guy, and we already knew like what mythology they were cribbing. So
well, and also
this was weird.
He's not the same actor.
No, but it's the same character. He's the weird comic relief who's like weird and awkward and an Arab trader, literally again. It's the same thing. It's just always the same. The problem is, why call this? I noticed. I don't know if you did. I don't know how you watched this. I watched this on Vudu, but. The poster they have doesn't mention the mummy anywhere.
I saw it on Amazon, yeah, and
because it doesn't really connect at all.
Yes, but the reason I bring that up is I remember when they were advertising it. It was advertised as The Mummy 3: The Scorpion King.
It was a prequel of a sequel of a remake.
I will say though, as far as remakes of the original Universal horror monsters. That might be the best remake of any of them.
Probably.
I mean, I, Frankenstein was atrocious. The Mummy that came out 2 years ago with Tom Cruise, unwatchable. Right?
I never saw it because... I
didn't see it either. I heard it was bad.
You want to see a fat and pudgy Russell Crowe? He knew what movie he was in.
I could just watch Les Mis.
But yeah, and that one, but this sings. Is better because he doesn't sing. He's Dr. Jekyll.
I did know that.
Yeah. No Mr. Hyde, though.
And a lot of mercury, apparently.
It sure was. Sure was.
So should we try and describe like what actually happens? Because Matt's right. They go out to kill Memnon, and Memnon and his fortresses capture the Acadians. And the Rock is buried up to his neck, and they're smoking fire ants out to come and eat him.
Yeah.
And he's like killing the ants like... stomping with his chin or like bite or like trying to eat them. It's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, and then Benny comes up and essentially helps free him. We don't see how.
Well, we don't see how he gets out either.
Your word is true. Your word is your bond. You must take me on your adventures. Okay, fine. Just get me the fuck out away from these ants.
I mean, and this is and then Crystal like, Skull level bad CGI.
And, and he drives the ants away by drinking alcohol and spitting it on a torch, like a blowtorch.
Yeah.
You grew up in the state, right? So you know that that's how you kill fire ants.
That's exactly right. Or those big cow killers. If you guys don't know what cow killer ants are, look them up. They're covered in blue felt. No idea? Oh, my goodness gracious. Google them. Google it. We have an audience tonight, and I'm yelling at them, but they're called cow... killer.
Oh, I'm looking them up right now.
And just look them up on images. They're like pastel. They're like neon colors. You can get blue ones, yellow ones, orange ones, and red ones.
Oh, this one's orange right here.
And they're this big. And apparently, the bite from six of them can kill a cow. We would find them at summer camp.
Yeah.
Poke them with stuff, you know. but anyway. So you have these CGI like giant ant things, and they're just awful. And
well, they do end up. Yeah, I mean it's terrible, and it's kind of just a nothing scene because you know the ants burn, they flee, and then he picks a couple off the Rock's face, and that's it.
We get to see the Rock like blowing them to push them away, or smushing them with his chin.
Yeah, but there's
I thought that was funny.
There's no joy in it though for the Rock. I mean, normally, here's the thing about the Rock. He really is the heir to Arnold Schwarzenegger, because Schwarzenegger was in on the joke too, right?
Yeah.
He knew he was a cartoon of a human being.
Totally.
And The Rock knows that too about himself. I mean, he is a total just cartoon character that somehow got brought to life. A very wise and good man, I'm sure, who I hope never listens to this and tries to come beat me up or anything, but anyway, though, I mean, in this, he's still taking himself way too seriously, though, so there's just no joy in these scenes.
Well, I mean, it's the problem that they got around with Arnold because they made him a robot or a godless killing machine. Mm-hmm. Here they're expecting him to have charisma, and it took him a few years to get charisma.
Yeah. Let's just throw that out there. He's got tons of charisma now.
I mean, he holds down movies that have no need to be held down. Like, he really can't. Like, San Andreas, like...
Nah.
No, it's not good, but you'd watch it because The Rock is in it. I mean, honestly...
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
I mean...
How old are we now, bringing that out?
San Andreas?
No, that quote that Matt just dropped.
I remember unlocking him in a video game, like, forever ago.
On a PlayStation 1?
I don't think he's that old. Probably PlayStation 2 or 3. I don't think he's more than a decade older than we are. I mean, I could be wrong.
According to the wiki, he was born in, pause for effect, 1972.
Okay, so literally a decade. I'm 85, so, you know, I mean, he is chiseled, though. I also like that he looks like a person. Stallone doesn't.
That's
true. Yeah. But anyway, so let's actually move slightly ahead in this movie. There's not a lot to talk about because there's nothing that happens.
Well, they'd go to Gamora after the whole ant scene, which we're skipping a whole bunch of, like, prologue about how Memnon came to power and, like, the sorceress and all that crap, but nobody cares. So,
you know, I mean, like, essentially, he's a paid assassin at this point, who's been hired to kill specifically the sorceress because all the tribes that have been killed by Memnon are pissed because he could predict the battles. I'm not exactly sure how the sorceress helps, but whatever.
She has psychic visions of the future.
Yeah, but how does that matter?
So long as she never has sex.
That's what we're told at first. But, like, why does that matter?
If you're precognition, if you can predict what your enemy's going to do. Very good intelligence.
Okay, fine.
So if she's precognitive and can see the future, then she already knows that the dude's going to win.
And that's what they say, like, because eventually when she goes missing at one point because she's off with the Rock frolicking, the men start getting restless because they want to know what the soothsayer has to say. Like, because if she doesn't tell them that they're going to win, they're not going to win. You know what? It's the secret wrestling movie. If they don't hear it from the crowd, how are they going to know they're going to win? Before he gives them the people's elbow or whatever.
Well, Memnon does give one of his generals the people's shiv.
I saw that. That's something.
So anyway, they go to Gamora where there's that market scene where everybody's selling their wares. It's like that bit out of Life of Brian.
It is totally the Life of Brian.
Except for the scene with the hookers.
Yeah, well, I mean, so it's...
We can relax you. Maybe all of us can.
Yeah.
And there's exactly 12 women that they hired because they also appear as the Amazonians at the end and they're also all in the harem. It's all the same actresses. They could not be bothered. As we stroll through,
all those women look alike.
That's what they're hoping. As they kind of go through this whole thing, they leave Benny or whatever the hell the loser's name is at the bar, and a little orphan kid steals the rupees, the blood rupees that the kings paid him to assassinate the sorcerers.
Right.
And then he chases him down and makes him cough it up without a word.
And he snaps the kid's neck and leaves him for dead, right? No, he's an adorable kid, so he's got to fuck the plot up, too. There's so many times in this movie had, like, someone not intervened, The Rock would have won the movie. The movie exists because people keep delaying this asshole.
Yeah, like, he's going to kill Memnon, and then they're going to cut the kid's hand off for thievery, so he's like, no.
And suddenly they care. This is the problem. Like, this is the whole Star Trek thing. Let one person die and save everyone. Right? It's Christianity 101. One person dies, everyone else lives. It's fine. Let the kid lose a hand. Really, you got to do it. You got to let everyone move on.
Yeah.
This movie is terrible. I mean, I don't know if you know this. This is directed by Chuck Russell. The thing about Chuck Russell is he's never directed a good movie. He's never directed a bad movie. He's the most indifferent, forgettable director in Hollywood. He's done one movie we've done before, which is The Mask, which he directed as Charles Russell. Otherwise, he did The Blob, which is fine. Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, which is fine. It's probably the best sequel.
He produced Back to School.
fine. He directed an episode of Fringe. Great. He did Bless This Child, which is a generic creepy child horror movie. And Eraser, which is a forgettable Arnold movie.
I've still never seen Eraser.
Is that going to be a Stay Tuned? I'd like to do it.
Fine. You can do it. Good on you. I mean, honestly, like, it's just all forgettable. They're all indifferent. Like, no one jumps in, Eraser's my favorite Arnold movie. No, of course not, because you have decency.
Oh, we're going to get some angry comments from Eraser fans now.
The thing is, like,
someone shows up at Nick's house. You have been erased.
Fine, whatever. We did Commando. Commando's fun. People like Commando. Didn't we do Predator? Am I crazy?
Yeah, we did, because that was the one I tried to go to, but I couldn't make it in time.
Oh, good. I'm glad that's on the podcast now. Is there anything else you wish you could have done instead? I was shopping. I missed the bus. I was taking a real good dump, but I missed it.
I was going to come to the Predator recording, but then I got high.
Oh, there we go. A witness protection specialist? I'll be a specialist in something? I should totally do this movie. Become suspicious of his coworkers when dealing with a case involving high-tech weapons. Thanks, Internet.
So anyway, this movie here, instead of Eraser, which I still haven't seen.
Well, I guess stay tuned.
I guess. So there's that bit where he uses that street urchin to get him into Memnon's castle somehow.
Mm-hmm.
To try and actually kill him, but he can't because, I don't know.
The little orphan boy is about to get his hand chopped.
That's
for
right,
stealing.
That's
they
right.
They find the blood rubies or whatever they're called.
And so instead he...
We're also introduced to a mad scientist Merlin type who's making gunpowder, or as he calls it, Chinese magic powder, because why not? And... this movie just hits a crawl.
Oh, well,
it's less than 90
he,
minutes, and it took me like 2 days.
And he gets thrown down a tunnel or something. He ends up ambushing the sorceress. She's in the bathtub, and they end up getting flushed down the drain.
Oh, and then there's that shitty gag where they get flushed down the drain, and she ends up in a fountain, naked as the day she was born.
Yeah.
And right before she goes there, this kid had like thrown a coin in the fountain, and then she emerges, and he's all like, thank the gods my wish came true, or whatever.
This is literally an Animal House joke.
Oh, there were so many terrible jokes in this movie.
Yeah. Hey, I think they rip off the gong scene from Temple of Doom, where he somehow ends up in Memnon's harem, and the women all start hitting on him, and they all start stealing his weapons, and the guards come in and start shooting him with bows and arrows.
Somehow.
So he hides behind a gong and is like running through the harem with them shooting the gong.
And by somehow, you mean because the same mad scientist who's like roughly 3,000 years ahead with gunpowder is also 2,500 years ahead with a catapult.
Can I also just go ahead and say this movie just looked terrible?
Like, it did. Top to bottom.
It was dusty. It was brown. I mean, there was barely any color.
Well, and everything that was not clearly shot on
Oh, you're turning into me now.
Yeah, a soundstage was some of the worst CGI I've ever seen. Like, when he's flying through the air and going from one end to the other, he literally turns into the Ticks, like cartoon.
Yeah.
It's just this big hulking man. Like, they get, like, Katanga from Mortal Kombat 2 or something. It's bad. Like, and you have that one, I'm sure it's called the Arab set at like Universal Backlot.
Oh, yeah.
That they filmed like every market scene from every mildly racist movie for the last 40 years. Other than that, it's just fake. Nothing looks right. I guess now it's on the Disney Backlot because they filmed the entire Aladdin movie there, which just looks awful.
Oh, that's going to be terrible.
So bad. So bad.
Why must you do this to us, Will Smith? What have we ever done to
Welcome
you?
We used to like you, Will Smith.
Welcome to Agrabah.
There you go.
All right.
I will say, speaking of, Daniel and I were talking about this. By the time this episode comes out, the trailer will be old, but the Men in Black International trailer is relatively new. And you want to talk about Will Smith making terrible decisions. I'm sure the live-action Aladdin will make some money, and I'm sure they paid him well for it, but he should be in Men in Black International. He should be the grizzled old guy training new people.
He should be the new Zed.
He should be the new anything. But it's going to be one of the various Hemsworths, right?
It's a Thor reunion movie. It's Thor and Valkyrie.
It is. And then Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
As Rip Torn's character. Which is fine. I mean, Rip Torn does
probably
have to be
Tommy
sober.
Lee Jones's character, because Emma Thompson is Rip Torn's character.
Oh, I think you're right. That's right. Whatever. We have a section head. We have an old. It's everything. But I wish I could care about.
Can
any
I just
of this.
Bring up another one of the terrible jokes that they try and pass in this movie as humor?
Please.
Well, there's this like story where you know those scenes where they like cut into somebody telling the punchline of a joke, and then you're like supposed to guess what the joke is. Well, the punchline in this case is given by the Benny character. It's not the size of the hump; it's the motion of the camel.
Gross.
That was a literal line in this movie.
Oh, no, you're right. I'm not going to complain, but I remember that, and I paused the movie, and I asked what I was doing with my life. Then I got sad.
Why are your wrists bandaged right now?
Right, I know. References. They just list movie this references. One of it was it referenced Live and Let Die, which it did not. It referenced Flash Gordon, which it did not. I don't know. Like, there's just nothing.
Well, the real nothing comes after The Rock gets the sorceress.
Oh.
Instead of killing Memnon, he ends up, like we said, flushing the sorceress and himself down a toilet, and then they go to the desert.
Well, they've wrapped the sorceress in looks like some drapes and bungee cord.
No.
Yeah. And then they meet Michael Clark Duncan. Rest in peace, good sir. We still miss you.
Yeah.
Who was at the beginning of this movie? He was like one of a king from a southern kingdom.
Yeah. He's the king of Nubia, and they're part of the free peoples of the Middle East.
All right.
Sorry, Middle Earth. Oops. Fighting Memnon, and so he's running this like refugee camp for all the people who Memnon has defeated, and he is not happy to see Matthias, and they end up having a big fight.
Did we mention that the Scorpion King's name is Matthias?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just want to be sure.
I also want to make clear that I was right. All the filming locations are back lots in Universal Studios.
Oh, Jesus.
And then desert shots.
That
right?
explains that random kid with the cotton candy that just showed up in the
the trolley
scene.
Filled with tourists that goes through that one scene. And also, this is just a casting problem. What's the woman who's the sorceress's name?
Kelly Hugh.
She's great because she's a good actress. But he has bigger boobs than she does, and it's very clear in every scene where they're together that he makes her look like a child, which is really weird because he's often shoving her aside, and you have much more powerful, developed like character women off screen.
Yeah,
and then she's just like, my family always lied about the sex thing, and you're just like, guys, I don't care, man. I know you nailed her. Who cares? Who cares? All this is crap. There's a Godsmack song in this, and that's all you need to know.
Yeah, I like Godsmack.
I'm sure you do.
I checked my notes, and one of the things I wrote...
No, I just find it ironic that preachy-preach Christian guy likes a band called Godsmack. Also, it just ages this movie as 2002-iest of the most 2002. You might as well have a piano solo from Linkin Park.
I've got my notes here. The phrase, new metal Conan. Which I think perfectly sums up this movie.
Yeah, you're right. That's it.
So anyway, let's just skip ahead because there's that useless second act after they get the sorceress and they're in the desert and then there's supposed to be character development happening, implied character development. But they agree to go back after meeting with Balthazar to attack Memnon, and there's that great Trojan horse bit. It's the one kind of enjoyable thing where they hire a bunch of prostitutes for his harem, and then Michael Clark Duncan just pops out in a dress and starts killing people.
I mean, yeah, as you would expect from Michael Clark, as Sir Duncan. And then it just becomes a raid movie, which is fine. It just, none of it has any effect. I thought that they were going to allude to. Okay, so crazy. There's essentially three missions going on at once. Michael Clark Duncan is just killing everyone because he's a mad dog, right? The sorceress has gone in early, so The Rock is trying to free her, and he wants to kill Memnon. And there's some bullshit with snakes,
Meanwhile, Memnon thinks something's up, so he tries to make the sorceress pick the snakes out of vases, you know, that trick where you put the marble under the shell and move the shell around. Well, he's doing that with like six vases with four cobras on a wheel to see because he's convinced she's lost her powers.
Because she's had sex with a rock, which is the only way she would survive, he figures. And guess what? He's right, because women act exactly as you think they're going to in this movie. Women are all conniving, they're lying, and like it's really written terribly for women. Ultimately, she grabs a snake and tries to throw it at him, but then the rock shows up and blah, blah, blah. The third plot is the mad scientist guy and dipshit are trying to blow up the whole building with gunpowder.
Yeah, because at some point they find Phyllos out in the desert playing with gunpowder. He's like, I finally figured it out.
Yeah. So I thought the whole thing was going to be the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Gomorrah gets completely destroyed. And it turns out that instead of God, it's rock. It's the rock, because the rock is God.
Right. Stole my joke there. I was about to say something.
But I mean, that's literally what I thought they were going to do. But they even have a wet shit on that. Like, there's nothing. Like, they're like, no, he's now the king of Gomorrah. So I guess orgy?
Well, he kills Memnon with an arrow, which...
He shoots him with an arrow, and he falls into the explosion caused by Arpit and Phyllos. And he apparently is still alive to get incinerated as like a Rasputin-level death.
Wait, is the wizard guy literally named Phyllos?
Yeah.
So knowledge.
I guess. Yeah, yeah.
Literally or, knowledge.
Or wisdom.
Oh,
God
boy.
Damn it.
It's so stupid. Again, it's like someone opened the index of an ancient history book and just pulled stuff out. Akkadians, they sound important. What if there were none of them left? That puts the history line out of order. It doesn't matter.
Well, you have the Horde, but there seem to be a mishmash rather than being Asian.
The Horde
people
is very clearly supposed to be Mongolians.
Yeah, but their king is a white guy.
So wait,
named after an Ethiopian.
So the Horde
and
is
you've got like a mishmash of other peoples, and you have the Akkadians, and you have it's like again,
it's garbage.
AP World History Period 1 in a blender.
Someone wrote the movie and then just took the words out of the index of a book and labeled it.
So the Horde is in this movie to tear down the city wall.
All in all, just another brick in.
Are you
the
saying it's
wall.
A real shitty walk?
Yeah,
it's a really shitty walk situation.
Goddamn Mongolians!
Yeah, there you go.
I'm missing something, aren't I?
South Park.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
I love when that dude was the pilot to Canada.
Yeah.
You had your choice in airlines, and you just chose the wrong one.
Yeah. Welcome to Shitty Walk. Would you like some shitty food or some...
He lost all that weight by eating shitty food?
Yeah, he sure did. Do we have anything else we want to touch on? This movie
Let's just talk about the ending real quick, because that's when The Rock at least tried to have fun by using that... the sorceress predicts a period of peace that won't last forever, and The Rock's like, but I thought you lost your powers, if... And then he just does that... Rock facial expression that was popular back in the day.
Like, literally, where he stares on the barrel of the camera, cocks one eyebrow up, one eyebrow down, and goes, but I thought you said you'd lose your power. Again, it's almost Speed Racer. It's like, oh!
Well, they have to have when him and Memnon are fighting, he pulls off what little armor he has so he can be totally shirtless. So I guess if you've got it, flaunt it.
Well, he does it all the time. His armor tears away like it's construction paper. And then she goes, that's what we've been telling people for generations in order to make sure the king keeps his hands off of us. Just take me right here. And so they hump in front of people. It's an odd end.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it.
Oh, by the way, something I learned. This is one of the rare movies where The Rock has sex. No, it's because he doesn't want that to be his thing. He doesn't want to be like the heartthrob. He wants to be a hero, and that's why he wants his movies to be mostly PG, PG-13, because he wants to be the hero type. And so this was so early in his career, he didn't really have any way to say no.
Well, he just did whatever Vince McMahon told him to do.
Right, and now he's Dwayne. And so, as you know, a guy named Dwayne can't get laid. So there you are. Daniel, this was your movie. How do you feel?
Well, I mean, I thought it sucked back when it came out in 2002, and the suckage has just really increased.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, I don't know what to say.
Don't watch it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's a reason this is probably perpetually on at 2 a.m. on TBS these days, and that's how it's remembered.
Fair.
I'm going to offend everyone here. It's entertaining, but not really that substantial. And it's short, which is good.
I mean, I don't disagree. It's inoffensive. It's just there's nothing here for like 87-minute movie. It feels much longer. The action is joyless, and it's so CGI that even when The Rock is doing cool stuff, it's impossible to tell what he's actually doing.
Yeah.
I would say it's a waste of talent. Everyone across the board. I agree. I don't think The Rock's great yet, but he can do stuff. Let him do stuff. This movie feels like at one point he fires 5 arrows at once from a bow to save his brother. People are flying out windows. They're flying around. Let him just punch a guy. Let him throw someone. He's strong enough to literally pick someone up and throw them without any effects. He doesn't do it. Let him be the Rock. Ugh, whatever. It's garbage.
Some of the fight scenes do look a lot like professional wrestling.
Fine, but there should be that. It shouldn't be CGI. It shouldn't be effects. When someone picks his pocket in the market, it should have been an adult so he could throw him around. Like, it'd be great to have a scene where he's throwing people through the marketplace, you know, knocking down booths. There's like, first of all, they've never figured any of this stuff out, but like, there's a Chinese guy hawking goods 4,000 years ago or whatever. But it'd be great to see some of these people get like knocked around by the Rock. Doesn't happen. This movie is just a waste of CGI money. Like, this is one of those ones that could have cured disease or fed the homeless, but instead they made a shitty movie that lost a lot of money.
Did you see Vince McMahon was an executive producer of this
shocked?
Movie?
Are no, you I'm shocked? Not. At this point, he still had like the Rock's balls in like a glove compartment. Anyway, this movie was a waste of everybody's time. But next week is Matt Quinn's pick. Matt, will you tell us what movie disappointed you when you were a kid? Are you going to give a hint?
It involves a man who was a much better actor in another movie, but in this one he is so friggin' whiny and annoying. It ends with the crowning moment of tragedy in the whole series reduced to unintentional comedy.
Oh, Bruce Almighty.
See, I was going to guess we were going to watch T2.
But, oh, yeah.
You know, you have an Academy Award winner, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Of course.
And then we have a sequel that's even worse. So I don't know. But stay tuned next week and every future week when we put another piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Defend Your Childhood is produced by Do Better Podcasting and a member of the ESO Network. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Daniel Suttis and Ann Byrne. It is produced by Daniel Suttis, Matthew Quinn, and Ann Byrne. Thomas Herman is our consultant. Nick Hoffman is our executive producer. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find it at incompetech.com. It is licensed under the Creative Commons license. Thanks.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.